بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Most respected elders and friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The discourse for today will be brief, and we shall be discussing three issues. The first issue is, if a person purchases an item that has a subsidiary item to it, will that subsidiary item be included in the transaction or not? For example, a person purchases a house. The house itself is the object of the transaction. But in the house, there are movable and immovable furniture. And there's so many other personal belongings of the seller. Will the furniture of the house and the personal belongings of the seller be included in the transaction or not? And if it's included in the transaction, what is the principle of that? A second example, somebody sells a computer. Now there are many aspects of a computer. There could be the hard drive, there could be the software, there could be many other accessories of a computer. Now if a person is selling the hard drive, is the software included in the transaction or not? Or are the other accessories included in the transaction or not? And if we want the software and the other accessories to be included in a transaction, what are the rules and principles for that? Another example, somebody has a business. He wishes to sell his shop. It could be a supermarket. It could be a hardware. He sells the business to someone. Now, one is the business and one is the stock in trade. All the goods that are in the shop, are all those goods included in a transaction or are they excluded from the transaction? And if they are included in a transaction, what is the rule? What is the principle for that? That is our first topic for today. The second topic, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi will refer to a hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about five different forms of buying and selling in farming and the different aspects of farming and the partnership in farming. The third discussion will be about what is the Sharia position of deriving maximum benefit from any particular item. Deriving maximum benefit from any particular item, is that regarded to be greed or is that regarded to be avoiding waste? It depends how that is interpreted. As far as the first hadith is concerned, first aspect is concerned, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi refers to the practice of ta'abir. The Arabs, when they used to grow the dates, they used to practice pollination. That is, They used to cross the male date with the female date. And this happens in all type of fruits and vegetables, where the male pollen is put into the female pollen, and that is a form of fertilization that actually enhances the growth of the dates. So the Arabs used to practice on this. And this used to increase the growth of the khajur of the dates. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madinatul Munawwara. He observed the Ansars practicing this ta'bir, this pollination. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, what is this that you people do? Why do you do this? Why do you cross the male date with a female date? I think you shouldn't do it. So Sahaba stopped doing it. When they stopped doing it the following year, the dates were decreased. The date trees did not produce the amount of date that they used to get before. So when they complained to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told to a Sahaba that, see, whenever I tell you something about your deeny issues, anything pertaining to deen, anything pertaining to Shariat, practice on that, take it. But if I happen to tell you something from my own thought, something not related to your deen, something not related to Shariat, فَإِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ. I'm a human being. You continue with your worldly practices, the best what you know about yourself, about it. So this is the practice of ta'bir, where they cross the male date with the female date. Now the discussion for today is this, that if somebody happens to sell a date tree after he had practiced pollination on it, he crossed the male date with a female date, and the tree is already budding with the khajur, with the dates. The person sold the tree, he did not sell the dates. The question is that he sold the tree, will the khajur, the date, be included in a transaction or not? Imam Bukhari rahmatullah then refers to another example. If somebody got a farm, he sold the farm, but there are vegetables on the farm. He sold the farm, he did not sell the vegetables. Will the vegetable be included in a transaction or not? So on that, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh will mention a hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pertaining to that. The principle is, if any person happened to sell an item that has a subsidiary item to that, and that item is such, it's like separate, it is independent, you could conduct a separate transaction on that, that will not be included in the transaction. Unless the purchaser or the seller, they say that the subsidiary item is included in the transaction. Now the example that I have given, if a person sold his house, in the house there is furniture. The person wishes to sell the house, not the furniture. The furniture will not be included in the house. But if the purchaser says, I'm buying the house with the furniture, or the seller says, I'm selling you the house which includes the furniture. Now, the furniture is separate. You do a completely separate transaction on that. It is an independent item. But because the purchaser put that condition, I'm buying the house with the furniture, now the furniture will be included in the transaction. Likewise, if a person happened to purchase a computer, buys a hard drive, the purchaser says, I'm purchasing the hard drive with the software and with the various accessories attached to it. Now, that software and the other accessories will be included in that. Otherwise, it will not be included. Or the example I had given is somebody sold a business and the stock in trade, all the goods are in there. So one is the business and one is the stock in trade. Or there could be other furniture in the shop. All that will not be included in a transaction unless the purchaser puts a condition on that. Now Imam Bukhari rahmatullah refers to the topic and he says, Babu قَبْزِ مَنْ بَاعَ نَخْلًا قَدْ أُبِّرَتْ أَوْ أَرْضًا مَزْرُوعًا أَوْ بِإِجَارَةٍ. This topic is about The person who sells the date tree in which pollination has taken place, or the person sold a farm that has vegetables on it, or not selling the farm but hiring the farm that has vegetables on it, the issue is that who will be owner of the khajur, who will be owner of the vegetables. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Imam Nafi' rahmatullah alayh, he's a freed slave of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he quotes something, in all probability he must have heard something to the effect from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he says, أَيُّمَا نَخْلٍ بِيْعَدْ قَدْ أُبِّرَتْ, that whoever sold, or whichever tree have been sold on which pollination has been practiced, and the purchaser or the seller did not mention anything about that the fruits of the tree or the khajur on the tree, whether that is included in the transaction or not. So Imam Nafi says, فَثَّمَرْ لِلَّذِي أَبَّرَهَا, the fruit or the khajur on the tree will belong to that person that practiced that pollination, yani that is the owner or the seller. And not only that, وَكَذَلِكَ الْعَبْدُ, in the olden days, at the time of slavery, if a person owned a slave, he would sell the slave. But if there were some valuable items around the slave, will that valuable item be included in the transaction, or will the valuable items on the slave belong to the owner or not? So it will belong to the owner unless the purchaser says, I'm buying the slave, whatever is on the slave. And also goes, وَالْحَرْثُ. Harth refers to a farm. A person happens to sell a farm, and it has vegetables, or it has many other things related to the farm. It could be the farming equipment, etc. So all the farming equipment, the vegetables, will only be included in the transaction if the purchaser put a condition that he is buying the farm with all the equipment and with all the vegetables. So, سَمَّا لَهُ نَافِحَا أُولَىٰ إِثَّلَاسِ. The second hadith, the previous riwayat, it came from Imam Nafi' with a freed slave of Abdullah ibn Umar, but here there's a very clear hadith wherein Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالْ مَنْ بَاعَ نَخْلًا قَدْ أُبِّرَتْ, that person who sold a date tree on which pollination has been practiced, that means the practice of fertilization of the fruits have taken place, then the fruits will belong to the seller, the owner of the tree, unless the mushtari, the purchaser, puts a condition that he is buying the tree with the fruits. And from this, we understand the answer to all the three examples that have been given. The second topic, I mentioned that Imam Bukhari rahmatullah refers to five different transactions pertaining to farming, and he says, Babu bay'il muhadara. Very briefly, we refer to this. Otherwise, you know, previous discourses, we have discussed it in much detail. Imam Bukhari narrates a hadith of Anas ibn Malik, أنه قال, نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المحاقلة والمحاضرة والملامسة والمنابذة والمزابنة. Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه says that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم prohibited from muhaqala. Muhaqala is a type of partnership in farming. And this, we'll be discussing it in detail as we go on further. Second, muhadara. We already discussed this before, where a person wishes to purchase the fruits that are on the tree that are still green. And we've discussed that if there's a fear of a catastrophe coming on the fruit, then whose loss it will be, we have discussed that previously. Mulamasa, in the time of Jahiliyyah, there was a practice that if a person would enter somebody's shop, if you touch any particular item, the purchaser will have to buy it whether he likes it or not. It was compulsory, that was the norm of that time. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited from that because it goes against the free will of the purchaser. You're imposing a transaction upon the individual. Munabaza, that was also a practice at the time of Jahiliyyah, that when a person would enter somebody's shop, the seller would take a pebble and threw it on a particular item, which means the person that entered the shop, he would have to purchase the item that has been on which that pebble reached. It was a transaction by imposition against the will of the individual. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prohibited that. Fundamental principle of buying and selling is that there must be free will, there must be happiness on both sides. You can't impose a transaction upon an individual. And muzabana, we also discussed that, where if a person wishes to sell plucked fruits in exchange of fruits on the tree, and we discuss all this in that in the discussion of riba and interest. The third topic for today, Babu Bay'il Jummar wa Aklihi. Jummar refers to the branch of a tree, date tree, that does not produce dates, but that branch of the tree is, it is being grounded, and the sap, the syrup that comes out of it, that is called Jummar. In Bukhari Sharif, in Kitab al-Ilm, there is a hadith. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, on one occasion he was seated in a majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many sahaba were seated around. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to a sahaba, inna min ash-shajari shajaratun la yasqutu waraquha. Hadithuni ma hiya. They the tree that's like a Muslim. They the tree that's like a Muslim. Tell me, which tree is that? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to test the understanding of the sahaba. And he asked them this question. There is a tree that's like a Muslim. Tell me, what tree is that? The sahaba that were seated there, their minds went to various trees in the forest. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala said that he was seated there, and the thought came to his mind that it probably could be a khajur tree. But because he was so young, he was junior in related to all the great sahaba that were there, he didn't have the courage to talk about it. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told that it refers to a khajur tree, it refers to a date tree. That night, after Isha Salah, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala was returning with his father Umar radiallahu ta'ala home. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala told to his father, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, you know, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked this question, that there's a tree that's like a Muslim, which tree it is? My mind went that it is a khajur tree. I wanted to answer it, but because there were so many senior sahaba, I felt ashamed to say, speak in the presence of senior sahaba. Umar radiallahu ta'ala mentioned that if you would have answered it, or if he is a father, he's telling to his son that if you would have answered it, I, the father, would have felt very proud about you. Nevertheless, Hafid ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi, he explains that what is the similarity between a Muslim and a date tree? Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi explains that you look at the date tree, every aspect of the date tree, the trunk, the branches, the leaves, the dates, and the date also from the beginning right up till the end. Every aspect of the date tree is useful. There's no aspect of the date tree, whether it is the trunk, whether it is the branch, whether it's the leaves, or whether it's the fruit itself, is not useful. Every aspect of it is useful. And on that, Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah explains that a Muslim supposed to be like that, like a date tree. Every aspect of a Muslim, every part of a Muslim, whether it is the head, whether it is the eye, whether it is the ears, whether it is the mouth, whether it is the hand, whether it is the feet, our external, our internal, everything supposed to be in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, making the ibadat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and submitting to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And besides, the date tree, the date itself, whether it is rutab, the fresh date, and as it gets dry, and it becomes a dry date, even that is also useful. Likewise, a Muslim, every aspect of his life, whether he's young, whether he's middle age, whether he's old age, every aspect of his life is supposed to be useful and engage himself in the ibadat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Nevertheless, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah mentions here about Jummar. Jummar refers to that sap that is taken out from the date, from the branch of the date tree. Now the issue is that in a date tree, the main thing is the khajur, is the date, not the branch. And especially the branch that is not producing the date. But they use the branch of the date tree, they crush it and they take out the sap from it, that is also useful. The question that comes, that to what extent can we make use of an item, and is that regarded to be greed, or is that regarded to be avoiding waste? The Imam Bukhari rahmatullah refers to this, bay'il jummar wa aklihi, to sell that sap, not only that branch that did not produce the date, even the sap that comes out of it, make use of that, that is not regarded to be greed. That is, you are deriving maximum benefit from the ni'mat and the bounty of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and to even make use of it. He then narrates the hadith. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, كنت عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. I was by Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يأكل جمارا. Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم himself was eating the sap of the date tree that comes out from that branch of the date tree. Then Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned من الشجر شجرة فأمنكسي the tree كالرجل المؤمن. It is like a believer. فأردت أن أقول هي النخلة. Abdullah ibn Umar says that I wanted to say to Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم that that tree that you are referring to is a khajur tree, that فَإِذَا أَنَا أَحْدَثُهُمْ. Then I realized that I am the youngest of them all. How should I talk? I should keep quiet. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself mentioned, يَا النَّخْلَى, it is a khajur tree. Now, what we understand from this, that according to Shariat, it is permissible for a person to derive maximum benefit from an item, and that if that is not regarded to be greed, that is actually deriving maximum benefit from the ni'mat and the bounty of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And by way of example, there is in a hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, man akala fi qas'atin, summa lahisaha istaghfarat lahu al-qas'a. Now look at it, when a person is eating food, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to wipe the plate completely. Now probably the person may be full before that, but whatever is remaining in the plate, if a person cleans the plate out, licks every part of that plate, that is not greed. You are deriving maximum benefit from the ni'mat and the bounty of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, to the extent that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, if you do that, even that plate will make istighfar for you. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the food that is falls around, you pick it up and you eat it, you don't know in which lies the barakah of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Likewise, there may be many, many items in our homes. To us, it appears as though it is wasteful items, we throw them away. But we will never know in what lies barakah. On one occasion, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, he was the Grand Mufti of Darul Deoband. His Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Asghar Hussain Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, they were eating together, and after eating, Maulana Sayyid Asghar Hussain Sahab told to Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, do you know how to clean a dastarkhan? We eat and we just take things and we just throw it away in the dirt bin. Now imagine when Alim is asking the Grand Mufti of Deoband, do you know how to clean a dastarkhan? So what is there about it? So Mufti Shafi Sahab, out of humbleness and humility, said, no, teach me. Say, okay. After eating, sometimes this bread comes there on the table. Take this bread crumbs, go and put it there at the corner of the road there, and probably there's ants that are walking there, they probably would benefit from the bread crumbs. And then they had mangoes. See, take this the peels of the mangoes, go and keep it in a certain corner of the road, and maybe the dogs or the cats probably will benefit from that. And then you see the pits. Don't go keep it where the children play, because there are some poor people here and they will think that they have been deprived of eating mangoes. Go throw it somewhere else. And the bones, go and throw it outside. Maybe the dogs will benefit from that. Now look at it. If it is us, what we would do, whatever we left over there, we would think, just take it and throw it in the dirt bin and it is thrown away. Yeah, how you use items and you place it around, so many makhluk and creation of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala benefit from that. This is among the adabs and this is among the etiquettes of deriving maximum benefit of something. From this, One is the branch of the khajur tree, and the sap that's coming out of that, from this we understand, derive maximum benefit from something. It's a ni'mat and a bounty of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And this is not regarded to be greed, especially in this era of recycling. There's so many items, newspaper, cardboard, all these things. Especially in South Africa, I just saw the statistics the other day that on the recycling, that at least 100,000 people have received jobs just through recycling, picking up used newspaper, cardboard. These are all the ni'mat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. You collect them, you sell them, you earn an income through it. Especially the world that we are living in, the world of recycling. There's so much of the things we could do with things which we would think is apparently a waste, but it is not waste. We are deriving maximum benefit from the ni'mat and the bounty of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In fact, in the past, the dung of the animal used to be collected. People used to sell the dung of the animal and they used to use it to burn fire. And that is where the fuqaha also discussed that if the dung of the animal was used to burn fire, the smoke that's coming out of it that goes onto the roti, on the bread that has been cooked on such fire, will that be pure or impure? And because of the need and because of the difficulty, even the fuqaha have given leeway and say the roti, the bread would not be regarded to be impure. So we understand the fuqaha speak even of those issues. Even the dung of the animal should not be wasted. We could bring it to some kind of use. So from this, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah speaks about bay'ul jummar. It's not the date, it is not the branch, it is what is contained within the branch of the date tree, the sap. Even that should be wasted. That could be used to use it, to sell it, and even to derive benefit from your own self. May Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayah to understand all the issues of Islamic finance, business, economics, and Allah grant every one of us barakah in our income. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu.